track 12, and we have two feature articles for you this week. Our first item is from TNF Soundings and is about an e-bike charter designed by blind and partially sighted people aiming to make pavements safer for visually impaired pedestrians. And it now has support from a major e-bike operator. This article has been written by Heather and is read by Alistair.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
This is Alistair Arden with an article about an e-bike charter which aims to make pavements safer. For many visually impaired people, the arrival of hired e-bikes and e-scooters on our pavements has exacerbated the problem because abandoned, badly parked or recklessly driven e-bikes and scooters can all add to the hazards on pavements. But now there may be some help on the way thanks to an e-bike charter drawn up by the UK's Sight Loss Councils. The councils are regional organisations led by blind and partially sighted people. At the moment, there are 24 councils in England and Scotland supported by visual impairment charity, the Thomas Pocklington Trust. The e-bike charter has been created by blind and partially sighted volunteers at the Sight Loss Councils. It calls on e-hire companies to sign up to six key principles to ensure the safety of visually impaired pedestrians. These are to provide parking bays and racks where users should park e-bikes, to have a reporting and monitoring framework and publish the results, for example, targets for retrieval of abandoned or poorly parked e-bikes, to provide a simple non-digital channel for reporting e-bike incidents, to ensure reasonable weight and speed restrictions on rental e-bikes, to work towards ensuring that all rental e-bikes have an audible alert, for example, a horn or a bell, and lastly, to work to minimise riding of e-bikes on pavements. This will include trials of technology and supporting robust police enforcement of pavement riding. E-bike operator Lime has become the first to sign up to the charter. Lime currently operates in seven towns and cities across the UK. Lime has previously worked with the Sight Loss Councils on a campaign to educate e-bike users about the importance of safe parking to avoid trip hazards for visually impaired people. The Sight Loss Councils now hope that other e-bike and e-scooter operators will follow Lime's lead and sign up to the charter. If you want to find out more about Sight Loss Councils and whether they operate in your area, you can find more information online at sightlosscouncils.org.uk.
TNF Soundings.
And our second feature article is from the Nature Diary and has been written by Alice Henderson and is entitled Squealing Pigs and Dancing Birds. And she says, autumn is one of my favourite times of year, not just because of the beautiful colours on display, but because here in the South Hams, we are lucky enough to be visited by many migrating birds as they journey south in search of warmer climates. Just recently, a white stork has taken up residence locally, seeming to prefer West Charlton to the warmer countries further south. It has been stalking around the fields and marsh for weeks, and I have taken to watching it through my telescope from home while I eat my breakfast. One of my favourite parts of autumn is catching the spectacle of starling murmurations at Slapton. Every year on their autumn migration from Scandinavia to the Low Countries, starlings make a pit stop at Slapton Lay before heading on their way to places like France and the Netherlands. The numbers of birds stopping at Slapton have fluctuated over the years, most likely affected by the different weather and the impact of climate change. This year, large numbers passed through at the end of October, with smaller numbers coming through in the last few weeks, with possibly the milder weather in early November keeping birds from travelling in search of warmer environments. But it doesn't matter whether there are 100 or 100,000 watching, the Starling Murmuration is one of the most spectacular displays of nature you can see, in my opinion. A couple of weeks ago, I set out after work to see the starlings. They don't always roost in the same place, and this year, after roosting early in the season near Slapton Bridge, they've moved to spend their nights at Street Gate. They may move once the reeds have settled on and are broken down too much to perch on. Imagine the weight of between 20,000 and 100,000 birds. I walked a short way along the back slope, the narrow bit of land between the road and the lake. While waiting for the starlings to arrive, I watched as other birds flew over, the prehistoric-looking heron, great white egret and cormorant, as well as wagtails, stonechats and meadow pipits. Listening out, I heard coot, moorhen and water rail, the latter of which sounds a bit like a squealing pig and is somewhat elusive, or so I thought. Recently, after telling a group on the Mindfulness in Nature course I was running that it was extremely rare to see a water rail, one just appeared out of the reeds right in front of us. The great white egret, which has been hanging out at Slapton more and more, is quite a sight to see in itself. They are the size of a heron, if not slightly bigger, but all white with yellow bill and dark legs. And when they are not gliding through the air like a pterodactyl or fishing with its super long spear-like beak, you will find them perching precariously in a tree. Whilst waiting for the starlings to arrive, I discovered that there is not just one egret here, but four, the most I have ever seen together. Something spooked them and they all took off from the tree, gliding unwieldily in front of the sunset sky. Starlings started appearing in small groups of 100 or so, fluttering around with the bright sky behind them. Gradually, more and more small groups joined them, merging together to make one large group. They danced in the sky, sometimes bunching so close together they looked like they might crash. Larger groups of thousands of birds glided in from all directions, and soon what could have been 20,000 birds were swirling and dancing. They came closer and flew over our heads, and we could hear the sound of their wings beating, which was quite incredible. Then, mistaking a pigeon for a sparrowhawk, the murmuration condensed and contracted in disarray as they tried to avoid what they thought was a predator invading their ranks. Eventually, it was time to go to bed, and they swirled down in a funnel-like formation, whooshing into the reeds, where they chattered noisily.